One person has been banned from WordPress.org more times than any other person on the planet, and that is our guest today on Crossword.
That's a brutal opening. Almost as brutal as the question that Say generously agreed to let me open up with, where she's like, oh, you guys can do whatever you want. And so I just like went right for it, like right in the opening.
Say there. Reed is our guest today, and Say is the CEO of the WP Community Collective, WPCC. So we talk a little bit about that.
We've referenced Say and team's work multiple times over the past few seasons. And Say is someone that was one of the first folks that I like made contact with in the WordPress community. So I've known her for a long time. She invited me to speak at WordCamp Long Beach many years back, which was one of the first public talks that I ever gave. So yeah, Say is a great, great podcast guest. She's no stranger to the medium, and it was a lot of fun going back and forth.
Oh, the WP Community Collective just launched their State of the Community survey, and that's something we talked a little bit about. It's out now, so if you'd like to participate in that, you can head over to the WP Community Collective website, which is the wpcommunitycollective.com. Have a look in their recent news for a link to the survey.
So let's get to it right after a word from our sponsors.
Hi, it's me, Luke, and I'm doing an ad read for ServBolt. You know, I don't love doing these ad reads because on the one hand, it's an ad, it kind of feels disingenuous. But on the other hand, ServBolt really do have some amazing hosting. And so I'll tell you what happened with me. I migrated a WooCommerce site. And before the migration, I was getting a time to first byte of 3,200 milliseconds. After the migration, and I kid you not, this is absolutely true, my site loaded in 570 milliseconds. It was 5.7 times faster. Incredible. It was snappier. It was so noticeable. You do not need to migrate to a whole different e-commerce platform just to make your e-commerce store load faster. You can ask for a speed comparison test, and that includes a managed migration. And there's also a special offer available to Crossword listeners, 30% off your first 3 months at surfbolt.com/crossword.
Ollie is my personal toolkit of choice for building fast, good-looking sites on WordPress using the site editor. Mike and Patrick have been doing great work on Ollie for years, and it just keeps getting better, including support for WooCommerce and their new AI tools. Go to olliewp.com/crossword to learn more and enter crossword at checkout for 15% off Ollie Pro. Runtype is a platform for building AI products created by a team that loves open source and the open web. Runtype makes it easier to deliver AI projects on top of WordPress while giving you control over the models, tools, and user experience. For Crossword listeners, the Runtype team are offering time at no cost to talk through what you're building and share practical input. They've also just open-sourced Persona.js, which is an AI chat UI library that works with any site, and they'd love your feedback. To learn more, go to runtype.com/crossword. Say Reed, in the annals of WordPress history, you have a rather unique distinction of being one of the few people to be identified for account deactivation by Matt Mullenweg.
Or just get right into it. Okay.
So
softballs, we don't need ya.
So when I think about who might have a unique perspective on WordPress, both as an ecosystem, the project, the community, you've been pretty high on my list for a while. So I wanted to bring you on to Crossword and learn and share talk about your perspective.
What's going on over there?
Yeah. So I'll start with this one. When Matt did his post about JK Press, and which was an interesting piece for a number of reasons, and your name was referenced in that post.
It was.
What was that experience like for you?
That sucked. is what it did. And it has not been great since, honestly. Mm. It was shocking. Shocking is kind of the best word. Interestingly, when that post came out, my account had already been banned.
Okay.
So that post came out and said that the account of Yost Cream, myself, Heather Burns,
yes,
and Morten Rand Hendrickson would be banned. I have the timestamps of the bannings. So,
you'd already been deactivated before the.
Yes,
post.
I had already been deactivated before that came out, and I had no idea that was. I don't believe it was related. I don't believe that was like, oh, now we're going to write this. So I was just kind of shoehorned in there. But yeah, 2 days prior, I had been deactivated and I had messaged and been like, oh, what's up? I didn't use any clown emojis. So I'm not sure why my account's not working suddenly. You know, you're on Slack. Well, you probably don't know, actually. Well, so I'll tell you how it is. You're on Slack and you've got, you know, all your little icons open on the left, you know?
Yeah.
And then suddenly one just gets a little like alert, like a little warning symbol. That's what happens. Just a little like bleep, and it gets that little
your
like
account's been deactivated.
Yeah, and I click over, and I was like, "Oh, you're no longer logged in." And it's like, so I had gotten no notification or anything.
So that was in January of 25. Yeah. It's mm-hmm. now well into 26. Are you still deactivated?
Well, glad you asked. So I was reactivated with the rest of the folks. In that, well, I don't actually
Jubilee.
Know if Heather, during the Jubilee, exactly. I don't actually know if Heather and Morten were reactivated.
Okay.
They had already left the community prior to that, multiple years prior to that. But I was reactivated in May of 2025 with the Jubilee. I was one of the Jubilee recipients. Okay. And then I was able to attend, thank you. I was able to attend WordCamp Europe last year. I am not currently able to attend WordCamp Europe. However, I was told that I am not allowed to talk about why.
Okay.
I am not. If I discuss that, I will. This is rough. There will be additional issues.
Okay.
Apparently. So that is what I've been informed of. Technically, I'm not really, I guess, supposed to even talk to the WordPress community, but. Do we really know what that is? I don't know. I don't know what that means exactly. But I'm not attending WordCamps. I'm hopeful that I will again one day attend WordCamps. So, but yeah, I don't know how to, I wish I could answer that in excruciating detail. But unfortunately, I am marginally trying to be... Follow my instructions. I don't know.
Yeah, fair
I don't
enough.
Know how
so
to say that.
I enjoyed seeing you at PressConf a couple weeks ago.
Yes,
and
that was wonderful.
Speaking of WordCamps, you know, yours and my path. I was trying to remember exactly where this started, but one of the some of the impact that you've had on my own personal experience. The first talk that I ever gave was at WordCamp Long Beach many years back.
2019 in
you
the house
played a significant role in both encouraging me and like giving me the confidence to go in and do that.
I mean, I invited you specifically.
Yeah,
there was that. Like
you
I,
made that.
I
made,
there was that.
I was
part.
Like, all right. If someone's inviting me, that means that I can probably like figure this out. And up till that point, I had not done public speaking. Like I had very little experience in that regard.
You're welcome, everyone.
for better or for worse.
You should be.
I was going to say.
No, you're a good
we don't know how the story ends.
Another thing you can blame on me. It's good.
So per se, I think it's fair to say, no pun intended there, that you have WordPress has been a fairly significant part of your identity. Over the years. Is that
my
a fair,
online identity?
Your online identity.
That and my secret mystery novel.
When you look up Say Reed, Google does a helpful summary of Say, and there's two broad categories, her connection to the WordPress community and her work writing domestic thrillers.
I want S.E. Reed to know that she should be using her full name. And luckily, we are not in the same industry. But S.E. Reed, if you're out there, I get your emails sometimes. So I'm sure someday I'm going to meet this person and we're going to be like, hey, here's all the emails I've gotten. I've gotten fan emails, like interview requests. It's fun.
Have you ever been tempted to just respond and say, okay, yeah, I'll do an interview?
No, I have like a whole like thing about like I can't even like really pretend like pretend that type of stuff. I'm kind of a stick in the mud with that sort of thing. I'm like, no, I can't lead people on even for a joke. I have done that with like spam texts before.
Oh, sure.
I don't know if you've ever done that before. I've chronicled a few
spam
of them
calls.
Where you're just, yeah. One time someone asked me if I was going to come to the meeting and I was like, yeah. Are there snacks? If there's snacks, I'm coming.
So you've been fairly deeply involved in this community. You've had a podcast that if there was a statement like learn community deeply, like say you would be like up there. You've been doing this for a long time. So
podcast is 12 years, by the way.
Yeah, the water cooler has been running
years
for a long
the
time.
WP water cooler. That's a long time. Well, it's not running anymore.
Before podcasts were cool.
I know, right? I'm so before my time. Closed.
Hold on. Stop. Podcasts are cool?
Yeah. Very cool.
That's why you're so cool.
They're very cool.
Right?
I don't know.
Word on the street.
I would self-describe. All right. So WP Water Cooler, 12 years, no running anymore. How come?
Because we... I really like to speak the truth. I don't like to gloss over things. I don't like to pretend that something is great if it's not. And also, I mean, we were very hype on WordPress, right? We're like contribute, mm-hmm. get involved. And we were really struggling with that, doing that when we knew all the stuff that was going on. And what it really came down to is like we didn't want to be haters. Which is, you know, even though we were speaking the truth, we kept having to like put a caveat onto everything and be like, well, you should contribute. You might be abused a little, but whatever. You know, so really that was the impetus behind it. It was really sad. It was a big part of it was every week, right? And it was a live broadcast. We had, and we still have actually, a great Discord where we have a community around it. And I definitely miss it, but I don't miss the weekly conflict in my heart about, you know, how do I, you know, talk about this positively without also, you know, warning people. It was just too complicated at that point. So we decided there are a lot of other podcasts, yourself included, you know, that I don't know if you were around yet. You were, right? 2024?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So a lot of other podcasts had come in, even weekly ones, sort of, you know, we weren't the only ones holding down the fort anymore. And so I think it was fine. It was time for us. Message-wise, we knew too much is really the problem. We'd seen too many things like that. I've seen things, attack ships on fire.
So one of the things we reference a fair amount over the past couple of seasons is the WPCC.
Mm-hmm.
The acronym can mean different things, but in the context
sure
of this
can.
Conversation.
What? Really? I thought it was WordPress Community Collective. I'm not in on the joke.
Thanks,
explain
Luke.
The joke.
Do you remember? Oh, you remember. Like, you're getting old. When Mary on stage referenced the WPCC,
Mary Hubbard,
she was referencing a different one. That's the Campus Connect.
Campus Connect,
which was founded after WordPress, the WordPress Community Collective. Well, it's not the WordPress Community Collective. See, now you're making me say it. This is like when we all started to say WP Engine, WordPress Engine. I was like, I have never said that before in my life until now.
No.
Like, I don't ever say
right, so it's
the
not WordPress,
WordPress Community Collective.
No, it's just WP, yeah?
It's right. WP. I like to think about the WP as the community because you could use it without the trademark. Because you can't trademark WP. So I think WP to me is the greater ecosystem. It's sort of what represents the greater ecosystem as opposed to the specific term, which we all have, you know, a relationship with.
Yeah. So the WPCC, mm-hmm. how many years old is it at this point?
Well, technically, we founded it in 2022. However, yes. it was a nonprofit charity sponsored project
yeah.
at that point in time. It was not an independent organization. And then in December of 2024, we became an independent organization registered in the state of California, a mutual benefit organization, and we're working towards our 501c6 that enables us to advocate for our members and work for the greater good of our members and our industry. So it's not technically a charity. There's a lot of different levels of nonprofit status in the U.S., and 501c3s are public good charities, and they're very limited in what they're able to do in terms of programming, in terms of who they pay. Open source has not been accepted as a valid public good by the IRS for these designations. So you can't actually really pay people to code and then have that be a nonprofit thing. So that's a whole other conversation. But yeah, so we are a mutual benefit organization where we work for the benefit of our members and our industry, and we are able to do some advocacy, which I hope we're able to get into. Not today. I mean, I hope the organization is able to do more of, because open source is ever more important in my mind.
Say, I was one of the first members, that first round of members, I should say.
Yeah, the first round. It's very confusing.
I was one of the first round, and I have been a member since. And about maybe 3 months ago, I just signed out of Slack because I didn't really...
All the Slacks or just our Slack?
No, just your Slack, just WPCC.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Because I didn't understand, what am I doing here? I'm not really part of the conversation. There wasn't a lot happening. Tell me, why should I log back in?
Well, first of all, I mean, that's really like, you don't just, I have like Slacks on that I like haven't slacks on. Oh. That's kind of funny.
No.
I wear Slacks.
I've got only active Slacks. I'm one of those.
Are you inbox zero too?
Yep, I sure am. Yeah, and proud of
well,
it.
That makes sense then. I get it now why you did that. All right. So.
What, but I'm really
adjusting
asking,
to that type of human being. I'm like, wow, that is just so
I'm the
organized and clear. Yeah, me too. I'm like, wow, how do I wrap my hand around that?
I'm asking, what is WPCC doing? What is happening?
Yeah, well, what have you missed in your 3 months that you haven't been around? You missed, I believe, the commentary. So here's the deal. The idea is that our organization is based on our members, and that their members need to have a voice, right? So it's not just have a voice in the community, or that we're represent, like we are representing the community. It's also that the community, or the members, are able to participate in what we do, right? So for example, our current thing that we're about to launch, well, we have two things we're about to launch, but the thing that you have missed is weighing in on the next fellowship that we are doing, which is an AI fellowship, which is kind of exciting. So we put our framework together for the AI fellowship, like here's what it looks like, and then we put it in GitHub, our members only GitHub, and then have been asking members for their input, like what, you know, is this important to you? What would this, you know, what would you want out of this? Does, you know, we have a pay scale, the open source pay contributor standard that we've mm-hmm. developed, and that's both for in-house and hopefully others as well. But, you know, which of these pay rates would be a good idea? What types of output would you like from a fellow? Like what information would you like? So really making sure that the members, so the fellowship will be an extension of the members as well, right? And the reason we've started talking about, we've gone through all sorts of different, like which fellowship should we do, and have landed on AI, well, probably for obvious reasons. But the reason for the community is because I don't know if you know this, but it's really hard to pay attention to everything. Ever noticed?
Occasionally.
There's a lot of stuff happening. And, you know, especially for folks who aren't like right up in the community, like folks who are in, you know, they have their own agency or they're their own web developer. They can't pay attention to every single thing, every single post on the project or whatnot. So a lot of folks were talking about, you know, they want, interestingly, it basically comes down to they want DevRel for AI, right? Like they want to know what's going on. They want to know what the AI team is doing and how that's going to impact them. They want to know, there's some connectors and an MPC framework. What does that mean for the community? And for the people who are using WordPress in their work or whatever, and not just the kind of insular community that we're usually talking about. Like, what does that mean for the people who are using WordPress and our clients, right? Because a lot of people, you know, work with businesses and clients and people who are not in the WordPress community, and we need to give that information to them as well, right? There's going to be a new page in 7.0 that's still in there, right? It's like, wait, did they kick that one? No, they just, the connectors, right?
And people are going to be like, what's in and out? Yeah.
It is hard to keep track. I was like, real-time collaboration is out, not
yes, definitely.
AI. Right. Okay. Yep. So, it's like, what does that mean? How does that work? And, you know, where can the community go besides just straight up, you know, the posts right from the AI team, which are of arguable use, arguable benefit to the community. I mean, there is
communication that's happening. They were probably written by AI.
Yeah, they're totally written by AI. Yeah. But we need context, right? We need to understand, and we need someone there to be paying attention, not just to bring the information back to us, but also to represent the interests of the community. Because I don't see that happening. Let's say, like, I don't see that going on.
Say, I have a question for you.
That's what we're here for.
Given the personal experience that you've had, how do you find, where do you find the motivation to do what you're doing for a project like the WPCC? Like, you're talking about a lot of work. I don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but you're part of the team there. You have the CEO hat at the moment. There's a fair amount of responsibility with that. You've got a budget that you're working with, members. Like, there's a lot going on there. And you also have your own personal business and your own, like, life outside of all of this. Given what you've experienced, I guess there's a degree to which I feel like, how do you manage to still stay in all this? Like,
I mean, sheer tenacity.
Okay. Is that
it's values. It's okay. My stupid values. It's obnoxious, right? I mean, but let's be real. I really value open source software. I really value the ability of human beings around the world being able to have a software that they can use to publish things. Mm-hmm. I believe in the dream that we have all been collectively dreaming, and turns out it was a dream, but like, I believe in that dream of, you know, this community, that's this global community that's working together for something for the greater good.
That hits home so hard.
Oh,
I mean, glad. It's sad because it really has felt like a betrayal.
Yeah.
And when you talk about values like that, say it's, I think this is what Jonathan was getting to when he used the word identity earlier. It is a core part of your identity. And to have someone turn around who is supposed to share those values and say, nope, sorry, you're not part of this, that must be real tough.
That has been hard. I think it has been hard for the whole community because we all, like I said, we had a different vision. I believe, you know, some people are like, oh, I knew, whatever. It's like, yeah, we knew some of it, but we were all... So I don't want to get too far into politics, but...
No, let's do it. Let's go into politics.
Tech is really married to capitalism, right?
Yeah.
Like, let's not kid ourselves about how good of friends capitalism and tech are. And open source software represents something different than just pure capitalism, right? Like high paychecks and venture capital and whatever. Open source software is about public good and community good. And without trying to scare anyone, that's mildly socialist. I don't want to freak anyone out, but yeah, not that I'm saying, you know, yeah, we should all be socialists or whatever, but I'm saying that the underlying premise of a community created, a community supported, something that everyone's volunteering for the greater good, not a direct personal benefit right away. Like we're all working together for the collective, right? Mm-hmm. That's what we've been doing.
When I came out of WordCamp US, where Matt started this war with WP Engine, I think one of the things that I felt took a hit was up till that point, I had felt this strong sense of personal ownership that, like, this WordPress thing is also mine. And suddenly it was like,
it's
Matt
ours.
Saying,
it was it's ours.
Yes. And mm-hmm. when I would advocate for someone else to come into WordPress, I felt like I was inviting them to have a piece of this as well.
Exactly.
And that was, it was suddenly, no, WordPress.org is mine. And Matt has since, to his credit, he's corrected some of those things. Some things have been clarified.
he hasn't actually corrected it. It's still his legally.
Right.
I mean, I believe the words double down are actually the words I would use, especially with this most recent, hey, it's mine, so I'm going to go ahead and, you know, nominate a team that can do anything and they only mm-hmm. have to answer to me.
Yeah.
I mean, that's still the same thing.
Okay.
Sorry. Go ahead. Sorry. Not to interrupt your point.
There's some nuance. There's some nuance to it.
There's nuance.
But
there's certainly nuance.
It took a hit. Like my own sense of identity took a hit because up till that mm-hmm. point, so much of my own life and career had been built around this sense of like, yeah, I'm contributing in the ways that I can to this thing and it's growing. And then suddenly it felt like I was being asked to pick a side in a war that I didn't sign up for. And I was like, well, why are we doing this? And that's a limited perspective. Like I was fairly, you know, to the outside and feeling that. I can only imagine from your perspective, having been so like integrated and then working on things like the WPCC that from its aim is like, hey, we're trying to actually like contribute actively to this. And we're trying to have a big impact.
Yeah, I think that moment felt like a real bait and switch to all of us at that time, because we all knew it was I think I viewed Matt as a steward, right? That's how he had actually, I don't remember if he actually described that. We had a conversation. We've had multiple one-on-one conversations over the course of time, not recently. And I asked him once, like, what his post-life plan was for WordPress. And he's like, it's in my will, right? And that's the type of thing that comes from someone who is stewarding something, right? They feel like they're moving this through as opposed to claiming it for themselves. I mean, I guess it could be that just the impression that I got, right, is that it was more of a stewardship versus an ownership. And I feel like that moment, it became about ownership. And that's why I liken it to the switch between, it suddenly went from a mildly socialist kind of concept to like, oh, nope, just kidding. It's straight up capitalism and he owns it. And your labor is now directly being contributed, not to a nonprofit, not to a community, not to an idea, not to something that is collectively owned, but to someone who is already post-economic. Like literally that is what it switched to in a very short amount of time. And
I hate this word, post-economic. Can we just say very rich?
Oh, and that's why. No, we have to use post-economic now.
Oh, do we?
Sorry. Mm-hmm.
It aligns us too closely with the socialists. Because, well,
I mean, I wish we were all post-economic. I mean, we could get into that.
So
you want to talk about AI and post-economy?
What is that?
I mean, I think it's a stupid term, honestly, because I do think we will soon see what post-economic looks like for a lot of the people in the world. And I don't mean that in they're very rich. I mean that in there's like no economy. Mm. We could get into AI. And it's a different, little slightly different topic. But I feel that we were all impacted. We all felt a collective impact and dealt with it in various ways, right? When that happened, that we sort of felt the ground come out, or the rug be pulled out from under us. We're like, wait, what? What is the situation? What are we contributing to? What is this project? So you say it was hard, for me. I think it was hard for all of us, anyone who believed in that vision that we had been contributing to, inviting people into. I had just made, I spent a lot of time when I was marketing team rep working on the contribution onboarding, right? And the pipeline, contribution
what's
pipeline.
What's a marketing team? What's a marketing team? I've never heard of such a thing.
What's a marketing team? Yeah, it's the now defunct marketing team. Defunct. Disbanded. They really have been working to get rid of me, okay, for a while.
Post-economic marketing team.
Yeah, which is the post-say world. When I was the team rep of the marketing team, I was working on the contribution pipeline, and I had just we had just gotten into, I don't even remember what number it was, but we had just gotten get involved into the WordPress dashboard in the admin. And that linked to a page on WordPress.org, which was /contribute. Like that hadn't existed before. It wasn't in, like we have the dashboard in millions of installs across the world. And, you know, there wasn't a get involved tab. And we workshopped saying get involved or contribute. Contribute sounds like it's money. That's right. How, you know, it doesn't.
Yeah. I so like the distinction. Get,
yeah. So, I mean, we workshopped it. We worked on this thing, you know, there was a GitHub issue about it. What is the language we're using? But it went in there. And then, you know, we created this page. We adapted a little program that they had made for, I believe it was for WordCamp. I think it was originally WordCamp Asia, and then WordCamp Europe had modified it, which was basically like to figure out which team you would want to contribute to during Contributor Day. So it was cool. It's like, you know, what are you interested in? And at the end, it like gives you a little recommendation for the team. So we actually modified that, updated it, got that all together, and actually got it. It's a huge deal to get stuff on WordPress.org. Apparently less now,
it
but
used
at
to
the
be,
time,
yeah.
Yeah, at the time it was a big deal. So we got a /contribute page with this little program on it that people could go and then pick their team. And I got to tell you, I feel personally guilty for that because I just made I made a better pipeline for exploitative labor. Which is, I'm like, oh, so I'm just telling you to volunteer for this dude. And then also I'm telling you to volunteer for WordCamps, which are run by a for-profit organization that's owned by WPCS, owns all of the WordCamps, does all the WordCamps. It's not the foundation. So all of this has been made clear. And I think, you know, just coming back to that tenacity or why I'm still around.
Yeah.
I believe in what we were doing, and I feel like we're all sort of in a wait and see place. We need to wait and see what happens with this lawsuit. We need to wait and see what the legal take is on what powers the dictator, if you will, has for the project. Like, and I am. You know, it's going to be uncomfortable while we wait, but I feel like that's actually what most, you know, a lot of people are branching off into Spotify or Mdash or whatever the heck. But a lot of the bigger hosts, Shopify, that one.
I like Spotify. You know,
did I call
music.
It Spotify?
I do it all the time. I'm sure everybody listening does the same.
Yeah, of course they do. I don't even know. I don't even have Spotify or Shopify. Although I have used it. All right. Anyway, point is that I feel like it's hard to just continue to contribute in the same way that we did when we don't know what we're contributing to. And at this point, we don't know because it's Matt's, but it's kind of not.
Well, but
it's still the community.
This is also the point that you brought up earlier because like I've just started to recontribute to the hosting team. And it's been a bit of time since I've done that. But the reason why is there's a few reasons why, but one of them is like, I like the people that are involved.
Because you work for a hosting company?
No, actually.
Oh.
Okay. That's a bit low.
I just thought that might be related.
Convessio is no longer focused on like hosting. So that's a different thing. But for me, like I like the people that are involved in this. And right? I consider my, like, I like this idea of like the WP, because whatever happens next, like, I'm still optimistic about the future of this project and the broader ecosystem. Mm-hmm. Whatever happens next, there's still these, like, my life is forever altered for the time that I've spent in this space and the people that I've gotten to know, the people who invited me to speak at WordCamps, and back when that was a risky thing to do. Who is this guy? What is he talking about? And and I love the opportunities that this community has given to so many folks who wouldn't have had them otherwise. You can't take that away from all those who've had. So I see this is the optimistic take.
I live for the optimistic take.
But the question
I need it right now,
remains,
so I'm happy to hear it.
I think for the WPCC in particular, mm-hmm. I have a hard time, even given my optimistic nature, of imagining that being anything but an uphill battle to find ways to contribute. Like, if I heard you right, part of what you're thinking is like DevRel for the AI team. What's the degree to which that's being asked for by the project? So is that person who steps into that being set up like for failure to be like, oh yeah,
are
don't talk to this
person?
Are
you being set up for failure in your hosting team contributions?
I don't think so, no.
I mean, why would it be any different?
I like to hear that. That's what I'm curious about, because and I think that's a good sign. If you're not, it's like, how do you navigate this? Like, it feels like there's an unspoken, like direct odds between what like the project is doing and what the WPC is.
I think what you're trying to say, Jonathan, is
it's say is the problem.
Yeah.
Sorry, go
so
ahead.
If say is persona non grata, then, and she is the CEO of WPC, where does that leave other people from WPCC? That's the question.
This is a question. It is, I guess, an open question that people have. And I think my answer to it is I am not synonymous with the WPCC.
Yeah.
We have.
You're not the benevolent dictator for life of the.
Nope. No, I am I'm working for the members and for the board of directors who are active, you know, WordPressers and believe in the WordPress community. And there's no reason that anyone else should be tainted by the brush that has affected me. Like, first of all, I don't deserve what happened to me. I did not do anything wrong. I did not do the things that I was accused of doing. I was not collaborating with Yoast and Kareem. I was not planning a fork. I wasn't even talking to Yoast and Kareem. I did not do anything wrong at all. Mm-hmm. The only
not
thing
that
I did.
Planning a fork is wrong. Just to be
no,
clear.
I mean, I didn't do anything wrong in terms of the project. Like the stuff that, you know, the reason that I was banned and have my current status of whatever that might be, is nothing to do with anything that I have done. And that is the really sad part about it, because the truth is it has remarkably affected my reputation. And that is what's really sad. You know, in your last episode, y'all were talking about leadership.
Yeah.
Do you remember? Remember talking about leadership? Mm-hmm. And Luke, you were talking about leadership in the WordPress community, and you were like, oh, we need this leadership. And then, you know, maybe there's some leadership happening now.
In mm-hmm. Matt's corner? Yeah, there is.
Yeah. But I want to ask you a question about that. And this
good.
Relates.
Let's challenge that.
Yeah. Can you have leadership without accountability?
I mean, of course you can.
No, you can't. It's dictatorship. Without any accountability, you do not have leadership, because people.
Okay, we just have different definitions.
People who are choosing to follow you. That's what you're leading, and people follow. Yeah.
Yeah, people still follow dictators. The horrible people
well, that's
are leaders.
True.
That's just. That's true. I agree with you. Say we don't disagree. It's just when you ask me
like,
that question,
no.
I have a different definition of leadership.
Okay, yeah. So let me rephrase. Does leadership in the world exist without accountability? 100%.
Yes.
I do not personally believe that leadership can be held without true leadership is possible without accountability, because that to me is not going to be based off of the actual leading that is happening. It is based off of maybe someone's money. yeah. or someone's chokehold on something, or because people don't have another choice. But I don't necessarily agree that that is leadership.
Would I follow a leader without accountability? That is a more difficult question. And I think the answer's got to be no, hell no. Why would I do that?
But, I don't know. But you did say that you admire DHH. He has his own issues.
He does have issues. Yeah.
There's a lot of issues of accountability within the tech industry in terms of our leadership. And there have been some great examples of that. Even Linus?
Yeah, Torvald.
Torvald, thank you. He basically apologized for some of, you know, he took accountability for some of the things that he did within his tenure as, you know, dictator or whatever. Mm-hmm. I guess he's still kind of dictator, but, you know, had a change of heart. There have been examples of leaders who take accountability for their own actions, for even not taking action for your own personal accountability, taking accountability for the direction of the project. Let's say someone is like, oh, look, this website doesn't look great. Is it everybody else's fault? Or is it the leader's fault?
Yeah. I have a big issue with the way that Matt has not taken any accountability for the fact that he has not been around. You know, I talk about accountability. What has the release lead, Matt Mullenweg himself, been doing every release?
For the past 5 years or something.
Yeah, not now. 7-0 has Matthias, who also is sort of strangely silent. I just don't know what is. So actually, I asked this question at WordCamp Asia to a panel
this year.
And the answer was. A little vague, but it sort of just put the issue to rest for me, which was the release lead's role has changed, and now the release lead is more very big picture and not involved day to day. All right, I didn't get the memo. I don't think the memo was ever released. That's fine. Now I know the release lead isn't really involved, isn't expected to be involved.
So who's giving the blessings then? Because, you know, the feature ads need to be blessed. And that is not a term. That is a term. That is the actual term.
Yep, it is the term.
I'm not making that up. I'm not using sarcasm. Literally, who is blessing it if it's not the project lead?
The problem isn't so much to me who's blessing it. It's does the blessing happen in a public place where we can all see it?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And that was actually a big... It seems to be behind closed doors at the moment, doesn't it?
And that is another side of accountability, right? Yeah. If we're, and this is part of that weird bait and switch thing too. It's like, we're working in open, we're working in the public, except for these things. These things are secret and silent over here, and we're not allowed to talk about
them. And how dare you get upset about us including our premium product in WordPress core? You should be grateful.
I mean, I am grateful that that has now changed, by the way, that the featured plugins, for example, have changed. I'm sure that has nothing to do with the lawsuits or the foundation being added to the lawsuits. But I am very glad that it has been changed.
As I'm listening to the two of you, I'm thinking about leadership and accountability. And one thing that's striking me is, how do I put this? I don't consider Matt to be someone that I'm following. And I would say, I haven't really thought of that consciously, but that is a change that's happened over the past couple of years for me. Now, but to be fair, for the type of person I am, like there's very few people that I'm willing to follow. And as I'm thinking about this, I think I do agree actually that accountability is one of the attributes that I value. And like, because to me, there's a trust component to this idea of following. It's like, can I trust where they're taking me? Now, I'm able to work with lots of folks, including like who I won't follow them into something I don't trust per se. But that doesn't mean we can't work together on things. But that's
absolutely.
But there is something about I think for me, what stands out is that Matt is someone who I certainly have held in really high regard over the years from my like earliest involvement to the project, like my first post on .org many, many years ago, like he contributed to, and like that started this trajectory of like, I assume the best until I've experienced otherwise. And in my first conversations with him over the years, also I worked at Automattic, so I got a chance to work in that context there. And I think with the WP Engine stuff, yeah, I'm realizing now that something shifted. And I think it was the acting on our presumed collective behalf while feeling that, like, wait a minute. I think it felt like a bit of a betrayal for me as well.
Yeah. I mean, there was exploitation. We were used, the community. I was actually not at WordCamp US because I was already having. I didn't want to go because I didn't want to be in that. I wasn't prohibited from going, but I didn't want to support what was happening already. But I think in that moment, the audience and the audience of the community was used as leverage.
Yeah. And I would just
that
add a nuance.
That doesn't feel good.
It doesn't feel good. I would argue that exploitation, it's a strong word. I can agree that it could be the right one, whether it was conscious or not. And to me, this is part of what makes it difficult is I think a lot of things that Matt has done are what I think he believes to be like the right thing. And he's trying to work towards this like bigger picture, I don't know, whatever that may be. And that's what's made it complicated for me. And Luke and I talked about this a lot before. I have no love for private equity in particular.
Me neither.
And I think there's a lot that Matt could have done to
bring
more of us on board.
We all would have totally supported him, 100%. In fact, we were working on it. We were working actively on Five for the Future and how to make, and this is part of where the WPCC, you know, was part of that. So how do we get these companies to contribute their fair share? And what I had realized and why the WPCC was founded, why we founded it, was because, again, capitalism, but it's actually really difficult for companies that are not to hire random people and then ship them out somewhere else.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't make sense. It's this person, they've got no ROI. They don't have the same reporting metrics. Like if you have just a sponsored contributor, how do you fit them into your world? They're not on anyone's team. It's been very confusing for a lot of companies.
I want to push back on the like just broad label capitalism bad sort of thing that you're doing, because I'm a capitalist.
I'm not saying it's bad or good. I'm just saying I'm using it to describe what is happening.
I've always approached.
I would like to be anyway.
Contributing and a bunch of companies in the WordPress ecosystem, Elementor is a great example. Mm-hmm. They contribute a lot, actually, and they could tomorrow cancel all their contributions and not have any, you know, real negative effect. They're not really going to be, I mean, who's going to keep them accountable? I'm rethinking this accountability thing that I signed up for you with, say.
Yeah,
actually,
it's a thing.
I don't know how much I agree with it. I think maybe you can sometimes trade trust for accountability, but I need more time to ruminate. Anyway, we'll come back to that another time.
I mean, I think you would have trust because there is accountability, that you can trust someone will hold themselves accountable or will account to you what is happening. That's literally what the word means, right? They will make an account of what has happened, which means just acknowledging what's going on, right?
I think that's literally where
the word comes from.
So I think what I'm trying to say is I don't want contributions to ever feel forced. I don't want getting involved, if we want to use that. Well, I really hate get involved. The grammar doesn't work for me, but I don't want that ever to feel like, oh, you have to get involved or there is going to be some sort of consequence. And what Matt did with WP Engine made it feel that way. That was one of my biggest problems with it. Now people are contributing out of fear. I think WordPress is at its most beautiful when fully capitalist, fully money-making, money-driven companies change one little tweak and then start contributing to WordPress for no reason with no return. And that happens. That's not unheard of. And we have examples of it. So,
but what, I mean, okay, you can finish your sentence.
No, go ahead.
I think what we have is individuals at those organizations who are making a very strong case because they believe in it. And to that end, I've had conversations with many of these larger companies that have expressed exactly that. For example, that basically like, I'm the reason, but this is what they would say. I'm trying not to out anyone specifically, but like, you know, they're the reason that there is a contribution program and they manage all of that and they do all of the advocacy. And it's not about the C-suite at the company. It's not about any sort of metrics there. It's really because one person is advocating for that and making it happen. And sometimes when that one person leaves or there's a switch in positions or whatnot, that can go away. And we have seen examples of that as well. Specifically, you know, you mentioned Elementor. You know, they absolutely do are totally contributing. But the same issues exist there as with everything else in that there's no standard, right? So you can have multiple people contributing or as your sponsored contributor who are getting paid differently, who provide different reports, who provide just different types of contribution. And then that gets funneled back to the person who's managing that program. And then that person turns it into something palatable for the organization or justifies it in some way. But it's that is the extent. That's what's happening.
Yeah, I think you're right about a lot of that. It's been my experience that specifically with Elementor, that it comes from the very, very top, the willingness to and excitement about contributing. That
when you say the very, very top, what do you mean?
Yoni and Ariel, the founders. So
I have not spoken with them, so I can neither confirm nor deny that.
I've met them a couple of times, but obviously you've probably spoken with Miriam. Miriam, I'm sure would be happy to talk to it. Anyway, that aside, talk me through why is it important? And obviously, accountability is a huge value for you. It's hugely important. Help me understand why it's important for everything to have a standardized, isn't there sort of some sort of beauty in the range and diversity of different approaches to contributing?
Oh, of course. But it makes it very difficult for companies that do not work on, you know, variability and randomness to contribute. And that's specifically what we're talking about. It's not the beauty of contribution. It's how do you get a company that doesn't have that role, that has to report to shareholders, that has a board of directors that may or may not care at all. How do you have to standardize it for that. That is what the standard. It's not because people in the project should be contributing a specific way or have a specific standard. It's to make this, I mean, we're literally talking about how can these companies contribute and why are they not contributing? That has been the problem that I have been trying to solve because they want to contribute, a lot of them, or there's a person there who wants to do it. But it becomes really complicated when you have all of these different inputs happening and then you have to make it make sense in a boardroom or you have to make it make sense in a monthly report.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, That's where I've become more of a fan of letting it not make sense and just leaning into the fact that it doesn't make sense.
I'm a big fan of things not making sense, Luke. So I'm with you, but I don't know if you are familiar with corporate organizations because that is
familiar.
Not really how they fly.
Well, that's
roll,
how it flew
fly?
At WP Engine when I was contributing for them.
It's definitely worked out.
It does work out. And I think sometimes the pitch can be...
It didn't work out for WP Engine, Luke.
Oh, it worked out for a time, and I think it's working out. It's hard to say if it's working out now, because now they have an intrinsic motivation to be seen as contributing one way or another.
Benevolent.
I can say it worked out because after I left, that then there was a gap, and then they were in trouble with Matt. I'm not saying I was the one that was keeping them in the good books. I'm not saying that at all, but while I was there, it was working out. And
I mean, you probably were, because you were being paid to contribute and you were actively contributing. Like, yeah. And then you left and there wasn't a standard in place there. I'm not trying to say that you didn't, you know, set up your standards properly or something, but like your role as that paid contributor, you know, did they just like say, okay, well, we're hiring for this position again? Or is that sort of a position that you had, you know, sculpted yourself more individually?
Mm. Yeah, it could definitely have been the latter. I'm trying to suggest that organizations like WordPress.org and WPCC, maybe the shift in focus could be, here is the reasons why you should contribute to WordPress. And instead be contributing to WordPress is the right thing to do, and it's interesting and fun, and there's no good, we can't give you a justification financially for how it will give you a return on your investment. Jonathan's shaking his head, he disagrees. Yeah. That's not going to fly. Why?
Sadly, I love that idea as well, but for me, the beat that I've been drumming for a long time is, I think
repeating the beat you've been drumming. Yeah.
They both work, strangely, actually.
They do, yeah.
Is that we can't rely on altruism, and we have to find ways to connect it to a bottom line for people who don't care about
that. That's interesting, because my perspective is exactly the opposite. We can't rely it making sense. We have to make it work based on altruism.
I would argue that the answer is actually in the middle. Somewhere in the middle.
Yes.
And there's a tension between
we have
those.
To make altruism make sense.
Who needs
so this
gray
is the
area?
Thing. So the WPCC is not advocating that, you know, you should, like that WPCC is advocating for the gray area, which is that you can have some financial benefit. You can have sponsorships. You can have public
notoriety.
You can have that. You can have, you know, you can get your accolades, like the contributor appreciation campaign that we ran with GoDaddy Pro. And people are like, thank you. Like that's contributing in a way that, you know, is getting them ROI, is getting them attention, even though it's, you know, maybe it's feel good stuff or whatever, that has value in corporate America. And, you know, I don't know what you did with your contributions with WP Engine, but, you know, were you going around being like, I contribute, I do this, and, you know, kind of talking up WP Engine and talking about how great WP Engine was? Right. Because that's really hard for the contributor to do, but the companies need that. And that is really the model that we've built the WPCC on, is that we can pay the contributors standard rates, clear expectations of what we're getting back from them, clear expectations of what they're doing there, not just randomly picking issues, right? And then we can also celebrate and promote the companies that are paying for that. We can say, here are your accolades. And it doesn't have to be another burden on the contributor, who should just be contributing, not doing marketing for the company that's paying them. And another thing that happened with these contributors, not the ones who are full-time working, but the ones who are Tammy Listener actually coined the term fractional contributor, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like a fractional CEO. You keep having to go back and say, okay, well, this worked. Can I have some more money now, please, every 6 months or ever? People can't build lives on that,
right? You have to be a salesperson,
right?
Too, which is
You have to go to the meetings. You have to sell yourself. You have to do all this stuff. And then you also have to, then that company has to try to fit however you in, or it's a 6 month contract, or it's a 3 month, you know, it's really complicated. And that contributor, you know, are they like a NASCAR thing where they've got like the logos on them, or are they just able to work, right? Like, that's why the idea of the us being sort of that connector, that conduit, allows us to support both sides, give the companies financial incentive and a structure that works for them, and give the contributors the freedom of a little bit of stability and, you know, freedom from the trying to like pimp their sponsor.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, say, I really love that approach. I think it makes a lot of sense. I've contributed as a NASCAR car before, pimped out with stickers and emails requesting bios and, you know, summaries for Twitter or whatever. And I've also contributed and actively contribute now with a very light touch, where that's not a focus at all. And I think making access to contribution sponsorship money easier for both parties, the contributor and the person contributing their money, I think that is only a good thing. I think the WPCC is desperately needed, and I'm excited to see what happens next. I'm excited.
Are you gonna
to
lock
see.
Back into Slack?
I don't know. Should I? Tell me. What's what am I?
Come on.
The problem is all of the interesting stuff happens outside my time zone, and I miss it all. Oh. Yeah.
Well, no, not anymore. One of our board members, Jono Alderson, is in the UK also. So, are you in the UK?
Well,
I think I'm just making an assumption.
That just makes it worse.
I don't actually know where you are. Are you Australian?
Okay. I am. Yeah.
Oh, dang it! I'm always messing those up. Stupid American. Damn.
All right, I'll log in for you. Say thank you so much for coming on to Crossword.
Oh, okay. Bye.
I was trying to wrap up, and were you surprised by that wrap up?
Yeah, a little bit.
I'm sorry. I thought I was like circling the drain pipe there for a little bit. I thought I was doing too long a job of the conclusion. Jonathan, you take us out in a different way, mate.
Say, if anyone wants to get in touch with you, what's the best way for them to do so?
Oh, right. That
they can join the WPCC and log into the WPCC Slack, where they can ping me anytime.
I'm doing it right now.
I'm in the post status Slack. I'm in the repository Slack. I'm in,
.org Slack?
You know, I am not in the .org Slack.
Sorry, it's too soon.
Yeah, it's not even too soon. It's just like right now. But also, you know, they can, all the internets, there's the LinkedIn thing. Like, I mean, I'm pretty
accessible.
When
are we going to see some new blog posts on, say, Read Media? I was checking the timestamps and it's like 2016, I think.
I know. I was like, oh, I'm going to do this. And then it's been a month. I have like three articles that I've like half written, and I've had to split one into two pieces. I always get too ambitious with my ideas, and then I try to shove them all into one article. So I need to just be happy with saying one thing instead of trying to like say all the things. So I'm working on it.
There's a tagline in there somewhere with say all the things.
Say says all the things.
Yeah. Say, thank you for joining us. I look forward to that
blog
post.
Thank you so much for having me, y'all.